Welcome to Guerrilla Radio, recorded June 17th, 2026. Well, you've got to be taught from year to year, the song goes. It's got to be drummed in your little ear. Well, years and years into the Ukraine-Russia war, more than four for those counting, we're yet to hear, here in the West at least, commentators question or wonder aloud about how a fraternal hatred could erupt so catastrophically. Perhaps because the answer to the question is too simple. That hatred was carefully taught. And just as Ukrainian was taught to hate Ukrainian and Slav to hate Slav, we here are being taught to accept what is happening there and elsewhere as normal. Normal that bombs fall daily on hospitals and schools. Normal that doctors and patients, children and teachers should be killed. Professor Jeremy Kuzmarov is contributing managing editor at Covert Action Magazine, successor to the storied subversive print magazine. CAM continues almost 50 years on, publishing, quote, articles with differing viewpoints in an effort to nurture vibrant debate and thoughtful critical analysis. Jeremy's book titles include Obama's Unending Wars, The Russians Are Coming Again, written with John Marciano, Warmonger, How Clinton's Malign Foreign Policy Launched the U.S. Trajectory from Bush 2 to Biden, and his latest co-authored with Dan Kovalik, Syria, Anatomy of Regime Change. His recent piece at Covert Action, Russian Spy Was Killed as Part of CIA MI6 Psychological Warfare Operation, says former commander of French anti-terrorism group, examines one of the lessons learned from an old and still ongoing PSYOP. Jeremy Kuzmarov in the first half. And Canada's recently adopted so-called online safety measures join those of Five Eyes partners Australia, Britain, and New Zealand. Touted as necessary to protect the tender sensibilities of youngsters, the legislation is coercive and punitive and serves to enforce media control for the emerging cognitive war currently being fought in the brains and guts of a captured citizenry. John Helmers, the principal behind the news and analysis website Dances with Bears, an author and journalist, John's spent decades living in and reporting from Russia. His academic career includes teaching at Harvard and serving as political advisor to presidents and prime ministers. Helmers' book titles include The Man Who Knows Too Much About Russia, Long Live Novichok, The British Poison Which Fooled the World, and Sovcom Plot, How Pirates Tried to Capture the Treasure of the Russian Seas and Were Caught Out. His latest at Dances with Bears is Would the Last War Against Russia Have Turned Out Differently If Joseph Goebbels Launched Podcasts Instead of the V2 Rocket? John Helmer, reading Between the Lies, Big and Bigger in the second half. But first, Jeremy Kuzmarov and unlearning what we've been taught before it's too late. Welcome back to the show, Jeremy.
Great to be with you again.
Well, it's always my pleasure, of course. Now, Jeremy, your article brings me back to what I thought was my biggest reporting error ever. I believed way back when that Alexander Litvinenko's story of being poisoned by Russian agents was horseshit. And then he died, and I wrote, disparagingly about him and the whole claims that he made. And then he died. I felt terrible. That was 20 years ago. For those, Jeremy, who've never heard of or forgotten the Litvinenko saga, can you bring us to speed on who he was and what happened?
Well, he was a former KGB or FSB, security services, I guess, defector who moved to England and worked allegedly with British MI6. And then he was poisoned. And he also worked with Boris Berezovsky, oligarch who was expelled from Russia for his involvement in white-collar crime and the looting of Russia in the 90s, and was a foe of Vladimir Putin. And then Litvinenko was allegedly poisoned with polonium. And he died in 2006. And Putin, this was kind of the beginning of the anti-Putin hysteria. I think this was kind of planned. In hindsight, we can see it was kind of all planned, and this was an important opening salvo in the demonization of Vladimir Putin, who was subsequently accused of many other crime, which there's very little evidence that he was actually behind, and other poisoning like the Skripal and the Navalny. And if you look into each of these cases, the official narrative doesn't really hold water.
Well, yeah, your article features the famous photograph of Litvinenko lying in a hospital bed, his head shaved bald. He's got, those heart monitor stickers on his chest, and he's looking straight into camera, a shot from above. with a almost a saintly look. And I remember the lighting of the original photograph. It almost had a halo around him. And that was what really stank to me right off the it looks like such a staged operation. The criticism, the photograph, the person involved, his background was kind of airbrushed over by the press. But more than anything, it was this idea that he was poisoned with polonium. If the Russians were going to do something, why would they choose, if they were going to poison one of their own or knock him off? It always struck me as bizarre that they would choose such a high-profile means of doing it, one that would make their involvement obvious.
Absolutely. I think these are staged events designed to reignite the Cold War atmosphere in the United States, and it invoked the specter, the KGB and poisoning this association with Russia. And there's this kind of Orientalism, a good book by Guy Maten. He kind of applied Edward Said wrote the book Orientalism about stereotypes in the Middle East. And Guy Maten is a Swiss journalist who applied that to Russia. The same kind of stereotypes have prevailed for a long time, in Western culture and American popular culture and Hollywood. And this kind of plays off that. And I mean, if you look into the case, firstly, there was no motive, Putin is known for being a very calculating leader, very cautious. So, why would he recklessly try and kill somebody like Litvinenko, with not a very high level agent in the first place? He didn't have any secrets and he had defected years earlier. So, why would they develop this elaborate operation against him? I mean, it makes much more sense that was a whole setup and the framing of Putin as part of this propaganda operation. And the French intelligence agent Paul Baril has spoken out about this and had knowledge about this based on his work as a spy, and pointed to an Operation Beluga, which was a propaganda operation to demonize Putin and blame him for these murders that he didn't commit. And the key figure with the Scaramella, I think the evidence would indicate there were two Russians who were accused, but they couldn't have transported the polonium on the plane. That would imply if these Russians were behind it, somehow they transported polonium on the plane. And one of them was actually with his family. And, he wouldn't expose his own child potentially to the poison. But the evidence pointed to this shady Italian guy named Scaramella, who turned up at some CIA-linked conferences as being the one who probably administered the poison. He was present at this meeting in a hotel where the poisoning allegedly was administered. And, they claim that Litvinenko made a confessed at the end that it was Putin and the FSB, but actually he was already incapacitated, and they basically pushed his hand when he was, practically dead. They pushed his hand and had him sign something that he wasn't even conscious when he signed it. And they used that alleged admission to implicate Putin. So that's not evidence at all. And that would actually point more to a staging of the event. And they pushed his hand, basically a dead man with his last gasp of life, pushed his hand to sign something. So the whole thing, it has all the appearances of a setup, much like the Skripal, And at the time, you were way, visionary, because that was heretical to say that at the time. Nobody was really, saying, criticizing this or looking too in depth into it. And then now we have these other incidents with the Skripal and Navalny. They fit a pattern. And you can see, if you look carefully at each case, you see that the official story make no sense. And again, they're pushing this narrative of poisoning, and they want to associate the Russian. But actually, it was found in the Skripal case that the British were manufacturing it right near where the Skripals were allegedly poisoned. And Skripal were also, defectors from the Sergei Skripal had served in the Russian security services and defected to Great Britain. Although John Helmer investigated and found that it's likely he was actually a triple agent.
Well, and the parallels also extend to the way the media operated in the aftermath. And I remember the Litvinenko case well, where it was tracing the polonium was in the press everywhere. Oh, look, we've got traces at the restaurant. We've got, oh, and they went, and as you mentioned, they went to the airplane that the Russians arrived on looking for traces, because with Geiger counters, I suppose, and other sophisticated equipment, they can see the most minute traces of these highly toxic and easily identifiable compounds, these atomic elements. Again, why would the Russians use something that they could literally trace with spectrographs and Geiger counters right back to their door? It just seemed ridiculous. Litvinenko seems to me to be a dead man walking from the beginning, a patsy that they've brought in, a failed double agent, and everything else. He's going to take the fall one way or the other, I think, is the plan. But this Scaramella guy, he's got connections, and you mentioned Operation Beluga, that connects to the Chechen and Italian mafias. I'd never even heard until reading your article, Jeremy, of the Chechen mafia, but sure, it makes sense.
And I think what's suspicious is, he would never prosecute it. That these are the protected people are the one working with the, deep state, who then protect them from any prosecution when they went after these Russians. The UK did hold an inquiry, but it was, and that's a pattern we see in all these cases, as well as with the MH 117. They accuse somebody, but they stage more of a show trial. They're not allowed to mount a proper defense for themselves, or often even to present any evidence. And the evidence for the prosecution is often, evident that would not usually pass muster, even in the preliminary hearing. We see the corruption of the court system, and it's part of this elaborate public relations event, is what this should be seen as, to revitalize the atmosphere of the Cold War and condition the public to support what we're seeing playing out now in Ukraine, a deadly, deadly operation in the war in Ukraine that has cost millions of lives. So, what's at stake here is massive. This is very serious, and that's why any dissenters like yourself were marginalized or attacked, because they were, exposing a covert operation. And I think it was planned for years that they wanted to weaken Russia, try and take down Putin. And, it may have been the intent to provoke a war with Russia. This was planned for years. And these incidents are very vital as far as the molding of public opinion, and including especially liberal opinion. We see that the liberal media is the worst, and even the alternative media, which is supposed to be anti-establishment, doesn't cover this properly at all. They're just as bad as the mainstream media. They either don't cover it, or they cover it in the same biased way, the mainstream media, and they don't allow critical investigators. And it's really not even an issue of left versus right. It's really any independent investigator, whatever his political persuasion, would start to find that the official story makes no sense, and that there's all these deeper intrigues and a clear cover-up. And then you can start to see the pattern of cover-up when you look at, collectively at these incidents, Litvinenko, Skripal, Navalny, MH17. And you see the corruption in the legal system as well.
Well, with I'll give credit to Chris Floyd, who was a former Moscow Times writer, an American who lives in England, but he was writing about the Litvinenko case right from the beginning, and putting up red flags. And as you say, being totally alone and isolated. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Jeremy Kuzmarov. Jeremy is the managing editor at Covert Action magazine. It's the successor to the storied print version, and it is continuing 50 years on. Jeremy's book titles include Obama's Unending Wars, The Russians Are Coming Again with John Marciano, Warmonger, How Clinton's Malign Foreign Policy Launched the U.S. Trajectory from Bush 2 to Biden. His latest, co-authored with Dan Kovalik, is Syria, Anatomy of Regime Change. We're talking in and around his recent piece at Covert Action. Russian spy was killed as part of CIA MI6 psychological warfare operation, says former commander of French anti-terrorism group. You mentioned Paul Baril, the French security guy, and then, well, it looks like to me a mercenary. He's a pretty controversial character, Jeremy. Why did you cite Paul Baril? Or maybe you can tell us a little bit about this guy.
Well, I mean, he's worked with French intelligence, so he's an insider and a whistleblower. I mean, he has insider knowledge. And actually, he's been found to be truthful in the past because he spoke out about the Rwanda plane crash in 1994 that the U.S. And British intelligence was behind that crash with Paul Kagame, the Rwandan Patriotic Front leader. And I think he traced some of the weapons to the CIA that were used in that shootdown, which precipitated the Rwanda genocide. You know, it was designed to secure the power of U.S. proxy Paul Kagame, who went on to invade the Congo and aided Western corporations to loot the Congo and its rich mineral resources. So, kind of a whistleblower, and he has a truth teller. He has a pattern of being found to be credible as far as providing important information on some of these very shady operations. So, I mean, in this intelligence world, you know, it's a rough world. So, you know, you're not going to get necessarily people with backgrounds, choir boys, but, you know, if you're trying to get good information, you have to rely on insiders. And sometimes there are insiders who come forward with information. And in this case, you know, you have to assess the information he's giving and whether it's rational. And as we're discussing, a lot of the points he's going over make a lot of sense. You know, this Scaramella guy had this background with the mafia. He has he shows up at CIA conferences and then he disappeared and he's not being prosecuted when he's the one. Who all the evidence would indicate he was the one who administered the poisoning. Looking at the evidence from the court that was presented against these Russians and this staged signature and then the lack of motive, you always have to ask who benefits from a crime. And it's not Putin. The beneficiary is Western governments who have a vendetta against Putin, want to make him look bad and want to build public opinion. And we can see that the broader pattern and the broader demonization and, Russophobia that's been cultivated in part by manufacturing and these kind of incidents. So it seems to fit very well together. And what he's saying seems to make a lot of sense. So.
You write about him in your article, and I'll quote, working at the time for a watchdog group that investigates global corruption, Baril said that Lugovoy and Kovtun, the two agents that were accused of the assassination, were set up and that the CIA and British MI6 were behind Litvinenko's killing as part of Operation Beluga. You're citing his testimony from 2016, though. That's a long time ago. Why, Jeremy, write about that now? What's the urgency of this story today in 2026?
Well, firstly, Baril called for a broader investigation, whether people like him or not. What he was advocating for is, I think, what everybody should advocate for, an independent investigation, since the facts are so murky and unclear. And he called for Carla Del Ponte to preside over because she has a background. You know, we've seen how the International Criminal Court has been very politicized. And, you know, the current lieutenant governor in Canada is known for covering up, you know, for people like Paul Kagame and turning the court into a politicized instrument of the West. where the Italian Carlo Del Ponte has a reputation for absolute integrity, including in the Rwanda case. She was trying to push the prosecution of Kagame, and then they removed her. So if somebody with integrity would preside over an independent judicial inquiry, then all the facts can come to light, and we can have a fuller understanding of what exactly transpired. And that's what he was calling for. And, so if people have nothing to hide, if the Western governments and intelligence agencies are innocent, why then wouldn't they allow that? But obviously they have something to hide. So, I think the public should demand that, and also for all these other cases and how they fit together. And yeah, why it's very important, because today, look at the situation. The US and West have built up Ukraine, this military machine that has been attacking Russia, and it's threatening World War III, caused a humanitarian catastrophe for the people of Ukraine, and certainly the people of Eastern Ukraine. They've been attacked since 2014, since the US helped orchestrate a coup in Ukraine, and Ukraine is a dictatorial government. It's ruined the country of Ukraine. Their economy has been destroyed. It's been, a full-fledged dictatorship. Zelensky has jailed many of his opponents. Some have been hunted down and murdered in exile. They have websites promoting killing of people with blacklists. They're fascist neo-Nazis. And this has all been supported, and Western liberals and Democrats have been cheerleading this for years now, and keep invoking the supposed evil of Putin. And it's just kind of a myth that grew, that Putin was this maniacal killer, and it started with Litvinenko. I think that was the big start to that. And it's look where it's led. It's led to a lack of protest. We see protests over the Israel horrible action in Gaza and Lebanon justifiably, but there have been no these liberal groups who bring up Ukraine, and they don't even know anything about it, or they'll invoke the same stereotypes about Putin, often groups on the left. So that are involved in protesting Middle East policy, and some of the politicians who are supporting those opposing, like Iran, are gung-ho supporters of Ukraine and anti-Russia policy. So these kind of incidents have been used, to mold public opinion and to sway liberals to support a huge giveaway of U.S. taxpayer dollar to creating a calamitous conflict and supporting fascists in Ukraine, and then have ruined Ukraine as a country. I mean, they're kidnapping Ukrainian youth to send them to their death on the front lines. This war has gone on now longer than World War I. There was an article in New York Times last week about that.
Well, I'm glad that the New York Times can count, and that they do have a historical reference sometimes. And Beryl, you quote Beryl saying about Del Ponte, Carlo Del Ponte, the international jurist, that she had experience investigating complicated cases and was not connected to the CIA. And if she were appointed, Beryl says, introduce her to all the central elements of the investigation and turn get the truth out. Unlike, as you mentioned, Canada's current Governor General, the former international jurist Louise Arbour, who was on Canada's Supreme Court before taking up the GG position just last month, I think it was. And Paul Kagame. Paul Kagame is still, as you're mentioning, this line of history. Kagame is still running Rwanda and still attacking Congo, and is credited by some with the deaths of between 6 and 10 million Congolese in since his ascension to power through the Rwanda genocide engendered by these same actors.
He's considered the African Hitler. He's taken out three heads of state, but he's been the golden boy of the U.S. and U.K. They engineered his rise to power. And it was people like Arbour that helped protect him. And look, she gets elevated to be the lieutenant governor, where Carlo Del Ponte was fired and removed, even though she is an honest jurist with high integrity. So I think Beryl makes a good suggestion that We need her to preside. She has the experience and integrity to preside over independent investigations of the Denko case and these other related cases, whether it's Skripal, Navalny. And I think what we'll find is that, I mean, we already have a lot of evidence that came to light. And an investigator like John Helmer has done tremendous work exposing the truth. And he's gotten, unfortunately, no exposure in U.S. media or in these, phony anti-establishment media like Democracy Now! Or Mother Jones or The Nation. You don't find him interviewed or featured, but his books have are huge, replete with facts and detail that debunk the official narrative. That anybody that takes the time to read it carefully see the facts that he presents. And there are others, but I cite him as somebody who's really done a great job in writing several books, and also in the MH17 117 case. And Robert Parry of Consortium New did a very good job investigating that. So we already have a lot of evidence in these books and articles written by these authors who've done tremendous investigations that puncture the official story and present a weight of evidence. But a court proceeding, could, get more information about exactly what transpired and the conspiracy. I mean, ultimately, I think we're dealing with a criminal conspiracy to, in the case of Litvinenko, murder people and then frame somebody else. And that's the classic, Cywar, that this was adopted by the CIA under the Operation Phoenix in Vietnam. And they did that and many other, intervention in the Cold War, like Philippine, Edward Lansdale was known for doing that, staging atrocities and setting up left-wing groups to make them look guilty in the eye of the public. And that's called psychological warfare. And in fact, Paul Kagame was trained in psychological warfare at Fort Leavenworth. He did that in the Rwandan genocide. The RPF killed tons of people. And then tried to blame the Hutu and convince world opinion that the Hutu were the bad guy and he was the hero. So they're very good at Cy War. And I think that's what we're dealing with here, a criminal Cy War operation, like with the Russia-Ukraine conflict, often a war by proxy. And as it's played out, it's had a horrendous cost on the people of Ukraine. Eastern Ukraine and the Russians. The Ukraine is directly attacking Russia with drones and carrying out terrorist attack. They've bombed a bus in recent weeks. They've bombed buses and civilians, and this got no attention in U.S. media at all. And the regime has been subsidized for years and supported by these liberals, which is, I think, a disgrace forever. That the AOCs and the Bernie Sanders have been cheerleaders for this criminal war that threatens World War III, and that the left only protested Israel and Gaza when this has been going on all these years, and there are millions of deaths there, and they're totally silent about it.
Yeah, it's estimated that I think a million Ukrainians have died in this war so far, and how many more injured and everything else. Jeremy, we're fast out of time. You mentioned in the article too the case of the billionaire Berezovsky, and he kind of like a George Soros figure at what he got up to. Again, the article is Russian spy was killed as part of CIA MI6 psychological warfare operation, says former commander of French anti-terrorism group. It's by my guest Jeremy Kuzmarov at Covert Action.com. And Jeremy, it struck me reading the notes as well. You mentioned the Orange Revolution and how Viktor Yushchenko was brought to power, but a victim of another weird kind of poisoning event that who survived, and then that was used to nix the election and have a redo of the election, and then he was placed in power in Ukraine. This is way back in 2004 and 5. So this has been going on. This psyop against the Ukrainian people to get at Russia has been going on for more than 20 years now. And as you mentioned, look at the cost. Jeremy, thanks a lot for coming on. John Helmer will be on right after the break. You'll be happy to
Oh,
know.
great.
And
Yeah, I have high respect for his work. I've learned a lot from reading him.
well, and our listeners can learn a lot too by listening to this show, because he's the single most frequently appearing guest on Guerrilla Radio. And Jeremy, you're right up there in the top five as well. And I thank you for coming on again.
My pleasure. Anytime.
I'm going to take a brief break and then I'll be back with said Mr. Helmer, talk a little bit about what's going on in Russia. Escape the narrative. Guerrilla Radio.